Are at the first Sunday of a new year. It's always a good time to spend a short, very short time looking back and much time looking forward. How many of you, when you read a book, actually read the introduction and the preface? I did never did that before, but I'm learning there's some value in that. Because when you read the preface to a book, all of a sudden you begin to get a flavor of who the author is and his perspective and why he's writing the book and what's this going to be about, and you get into his mind a little bit. And I would submit to you that in the book of Joshua chapter 1, we begin in those first nine verses, sort of a preface, if you will, to the book of Joshua. Times are a-changin'. Just come back with me, won't you? You're Joshua. You've just lived through 40 long years of wandering in the wilderness, without a map, without a GPS. You have no clue where you are, except that God has been leading you for 40 years. Just prior to that, you, as Joshua, the servant of Moses, you experienced the 10 plagues. You saw the power of God on display as God took on the Egyptian gods, if you will, and the most powerful man on planet Earth, the Pharaoh. You saw God do all these things through Moses. You were there to witness because you were at Moses' side. You saw the 10 plagues. You saw the Red Sea being opened up. You saw the manna coming from heaven. You saw the water coming out of a rock. But now, Moses is dead. And times are a-changing. And now God comes to Joshua. And God has a word for Joshua. And I would submit to you, He has a word for you and me as we enter a new year, as we enter a new phase, a new place. But put yourself back with me for just a moment in Joshua's shoes. You have walked with Moses for 40 years. You were one of only two men that are still alive from 40 years ago after entering the land and spying it out. You have seen the abundance of the land firsthand. But now Moses is dead. And God comes to you. And this is the word of the Lord which comes to you. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. And while it doesn't say so in the text, I suspect that there might have been a very pregnant pause right there. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and even as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall bring this people to take possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, and be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. And then I lost my place. All that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Imagine you're Joshua. You've heard God speak to you, and now you need to digest it, if you will. What did he say? Let me walk with you quickly through this text and pick out some points that I believe are pertinent of what Joshua and we together need to hear today. Number one, God tells him, in a sense, Josh, the past is past. Moses, my servant, is dead. I have been with you for 40 years, Joshua. You have seen all the wonderful things that I have done. You have seen what Moses did. You have witnessed firsthand, Joshua, the sin and the rebellion of the people. But Joshua, hear this. Hear me now. Moses is dead. The past is in the past. You cannot bring it back. You ever wonder, I know when I read that verse of God speaking to Joshua and he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. It seems so harsh. It seems so calloused. Come on, God. He's just lost his friend of 40-some years. Can't you have a little compassion? Moses, my servant, is dead. Why does God just put it out there for Josh? I suspect, at least in part, because God knows us. And where do we most find joy in living? In the future? Or in the good old days? All of us like the good old days, right? It's just not like it was in the good old days. And we love to live in the past. Do you know why we have picture albums upon picture albums upon picture albums that we never look at? Can we talk? It's because, well, but remember, and we get them out once in a while when we're feeling nostalgic, and we like to live back there, but God is bringing a message to Joshua and to us. The past is past. We can learn from it. We can run from it. But it's still in the past. It's living in the past is sort of like chasing a shadow. You will never catch it. It will never become real. It will never be what it once was. It's in the past. And for some of us, we go, thank God it's in the past. First point, the past is in the past, Josh. It's time to turn your face to the future. Secondly, God comes to Joshua and he says, there will be challenges ahead. He says, arise. Literally, he says to Joshua, get up. Moses is dead now. Get up and cross this Jordan. First obstacle is a physical one. The Jordan River, in a dry season, it's only about 100 yards wide, shallow. But in the rainy season, it can be up to a mile wide. Muddy, marshy. And you can see Josh, okay, God, I heard you, but how in the world am I supposed to get all these people across the river? Don't worry about it, Josh. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. There will be challenges in the future, Joshua, and to us. And then he paints a little bit of a picture of the territory they're going to get. Oh, by the way, you're going to have all the land of the Hittites. That would be like telling the people of Belize, oh, by the way, next year you're going to own all of the United States. They're the superpower, but I'm going to give them to you. Right. The Hittites at the time were the superpower of the day, if you will. And God paints a picture for Joshua, this will be your territory. Obviously, it's not going to come without a fight. There will be challenges ahead. We too face our own unique challenges, do we not? We face challenges of learning from the past. We face challenges of living in a very violent, volatile world. Every day it seems something new is happening. We face challenges of looking in the mirror and wondering, God, what are you doing in my life? What are you doing in our body here? We all have the challenges that we face. It was May 25 of 1961. Some of you may remember. I don't. See, I am just a young pup. But on May 25 of 1961, President John F. Kennedy got up before a joint session of Congress and announced a goal of, by the end of the decade, landing a man on the moon. And in that speech, he noted, we are going to have to develop bigger rockets than we are currently developing. We're going to have to develop rocket fuels that we don't even have yet. We're going to have to develop a lunar module to land them. And above all, we're going to have to develop a way to get that man back here home safely. He knew there were obstacles. He knew there were challenges. He didn't have the answers to them, but he put that goal out to a nation. And in the 1960s, amidst all the stuff that was going on with Vietnam, the nation had a goal. And here God says to Joshua, I'm giving you a goal. Cross this Jordan. There's going to be the Jordan you got to cross. There's the Hittites you're going to have to deal with, and a whole lot of ites and Perizzites and Hittites and Amorites and termites and but cross this Jordan. There will be challenges, Josh, but you are to go forward. So God first says the past is the past. There will be challenges. Thirdly, God reiterates again and again and again with Joshua, I am with you. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And if God had stopped right there and just said that one pregnant clause, as I have been with Moses, wow. Imagine you're Joshua. You've been there the last 40 years. You have seen God confront Pharaoh. You have seen all the firstborn in Egypt die. You have seen 3 days of darkness. You have seen the Egyptians' cattle die while yours were alive. You have seen the dividing line between the people of Israel and the Egyptians. You've seen the Red Sea. And God said, just as I was with Moses, whoa. That same presence God is promising will be with Joshua. The Lord spoke to Joshua. And the Lord said, we get to verse 9, I, the Lord your God, Yahweh, the name of the covenant-keeping God, goes with you, Joshua. He will not leave you or forsake you. The same God who did a battle with the Egyptians will be with you, Joshua. The same God who opened the Red Sea will be with you, Joshua. The same God who is our Redeemer and our Creator, our Sustainer and our Provider, will be with you, Joshua. And Joshua, I'm going to be with you because my Spirit rests upon you, and I'm giving you the guidelines. I will be with you through my word. Do not depart from this book of the law. Let my word dwell in you. Be soaked in it, Joshua. Let it marinate in your life. Because as you do, Josh, you will have success in whatever you do. And as God tells Joshua that, on the heels of one of the greatest leaders Israel has ever known, God promises the next leader, just as I was with him, so I will be with you. Whoa. People of God, just as God was with Moses, just as God was with Joshua, that same covenant-keeping God is with you and me today. He is with us. So God had promised, talked to Joshua and said, the past is past. I am with you. You will face obstacles. Next he says, I want you to have an attitude of confidence. A stick-to-itiveness, if you will. Three times he says, be strong and courageous. If we were all Jewish, God would be telling us, I want you to have some chutzpah. We're going to do it. It's sort of like the story of a college football coach. They were facing one of their rivals, and he was really working on getting his team revved up, you know. So he had his team in the locker room, and there behind him was a 5-gallon bucket. And he reaches down in that bucket, and he pulls out about an 8-inch little alligator. And he says, I want you to be like this. And he takes that alligator, and it clomps on his rear end. And he's walking around with the alligator sticking out there. And he said, I want you to be like this. And then he pokes the alligator in the eye, and he drops him off. And he says, now, is there anybody here that's willing to try it? Big old linebacker in the back says, well, coach, I'd be willing to try it as long as you promise not to poke me in the eye. Okay, that really had nothing to do with the sermon, but it was for... But that sense of, I want you to, Josh, I want you to know that you walk in my power. This isn't God isn't telling Joshua, by the way, Josh, could you make sure that every day you get up, make sure you pull your bootstraps up, that you're good to go. That is not what God is speaking into Joshua's life here. It's not what he's speaking into our life. He's telling Joshua, because I am the covenant-keeping God, because I said I will be with you just as I was with Moses, I want you, in with that as a foundation, to be strong and courageous. It's a deep-seated trust in the character of God Himself that allows leaders and allows the people of God to say, huh, well, if God is with me, just as He was with Moses and Joshua, and why, It's not about me. In a sense, that's what God is telling Josh. Josh, this isn't about you. It's about me. Listen, verse 2. The land which I am giving them. The people didn't take the land so much as God gave them the land. Verse 3. I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. Verse 4. All this land I just described, this picture I painted, will be your territory. Not maybe. Verse 5. Just like Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Verse 6. I swore to give this land. Now's the time to take hold of that promise. Verse 7. If you will walk in my word, this no doubt brought to Joshua, who had been there when Moses gave the law, memories of Deuteronomy chapter 30, where God says, I have placed before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Choose life. Choose life. So he calls Josh to walk in that reality. He calls him to follow in his lead. Verse 8, again, his word will be your constant companion. Meditate on it. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong, don't tremble or be dismayed. And what is God telling them? What is he trying to impart to Joshua as he stands on the precipice of a new generation, of a new place in the history of Israel, of going into the land? What is he trying to tell us as we stand in a new place, the beginning of a new year? I will be with you. I will not leave you. Therefore, act accordingly, will you? In other words, be strong and courageous. Go forth knowing that the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And finally, God says to Joshua, I want you to step into the future. Cross this Jordan. All this land will be your territory. He paints a picture. It's a vast land. It's a land that Joshua has seen already, flowing with milk and honey, as they used to describe it. And it's all yours. The challenge is sometimes we have trouble seeing it. The story is told that when Disneyland was dedicated, or I should say by the time Disneyland was dedicated, Walt Disney had already died. And they finished Disneyland, and then they had a dedication of Disneyland. And at the dedication, his wife was there, Walt's wife, and the chairman of the board got up to say a few words, and he said to Walt's wife, it's just too bad that Walt's not here to see it. And she responded, he did see it. That's why it's here. And you see, my friends, God already sees the future. He just asked us to step into that future. All of us have challenges in life. The question is, will we have the eyes of faith to believe that God is able to do what he said he would do? That he is able to melt stony, hard hearts? That he is able to change a culture? That he is able to do a work not only in my heart, but also in the heart of my neighbor, or my co-workers, or my friends? God sees that as though it already is. We just have a struggle with that at times. Our vision as a church, if you notice as you drove in, which you probably didn't, but it's right there on the sign, reflecting Christ and make him known. We are called not to live in the past, but in the future, today and tomorrow. So the question is this: can we this year choose to live out that short, simple vision that individually, corporately, we would be a people who actually reflect Christ and make him known to this valley, to your neighbors, to our co-workers, to your friends, maybe even to your family. Looking to the future, can we live out God's vision for us this year? I believe we can. You think about that. Amen. Father God, we have gathered this morning. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for speaking to us through the book of Joshua. Lord, I pray that by the power of your Spirit, you would impress those words, that you would engrave them on the tablets of our hearts. That we would be a people who are strong and courageous because we have placed our faith and trust in a God who is a covenant-keeping God, who will never leave us or forsake us, who walks with us each step of the way. Father, we know there will be challenges ahead. We know we cannot live in the past, but are called by you to look to the future. Lord, may we do so with boldness, with fearlessness, because we know that you walk with us, that you indwell us by your Spirit, the same Spirit who indwelled Moses and Joshua. So, Father, we bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me, please, for God's parting blessing? Baruch atah Adonai v'rish barakah. Ya'er Adonai panah v'leka v'yahunekah. Yisa Adonai panah v'leka v'yasimleka shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so dear. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Go and be the church.
Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms.